Do angels exist? Are healing miracles real? Is there life after death? Can people get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 25 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Peter Horobin. And it seems outrageous that there can be one prayer in the entire supernatural book called the Bible that Peter says is the most important prayer on earth. Now, a few years ago, we had this prayer of Jabez, which swept everything. But compared to what you're talking about, that's almost, to me, now this is between you and me, it's almost incidental, the magnitude of the difference. But I want to know about you. I want to know how someone that is such a logical type of individual starts operating in the supernatural realm, asking questions that are not coming from natural knowledge that trigger reactions that set people free. How did this start? How did this happen? Do you remember the first time it happened?
I remember the first time very well. I was trying to help a lady who was very distressed. She was crying. No one could actually find out what the real problem was. And she hadn't got the courage to actually tell people what was happening in her life. And I'd recently been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God gave me a word of knowledge as to what was happening and said that this woman is being sexually abused in her own home by a lodger. She's too embarrassed, she's too ashamed to tell anyone about it. You tell her that you know what her problem is and that God loves her.
Now, how did she react with, for starters, being so embarrassed when a stranger says, I know your problem?
She was silent. Her mouth just dropped open and said, how did you know? And I said, well, in the natural, I did not know. But God showed me what the problem was, and I just spoke out what he put into my spirit. And she said, every word you said is absolutely true. And as we talked with her through the problem, the key issue for her healing, this was the first time I'd ever prayed like this, was to forgive the man who had been doing the abuse. And it was a huge step for her. But Jesus says very clearly, if you don't forgive, God, the Father, will not forgive others, in Matthew 6:15. And that's an awful concept to think that God is not going to forgive me. And Scripture encourages us to do unto others.
It did no good, our salvation, if we're not forgiven.
Yeah. Well, see, we don't deserve to be forgiven. And God, as an act of mercy, forgives us. And he says, won't you give to others what I have given to you? And as we give to others what God gives to us, we experience his blessing. It's incredibly powerful. And right at the end of Jesus' life, when he was on the cross and the people had just nailed him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he was praying that God would bless those who were even nailing him to the cross. And that led to resurrection, because when he died, there was absolutely nothing in his heart of resentment or bitterness. Satan had no hold over him. And therefore, when Jesus was raised again from the dead, it was a resurrection morning of tremendous power and blessing. And as we forgive others, we can have our own resurrection morning.
I have to, number one, when that woman prayed that prayer, what difference happened in her life?
Something just left her heart. It was the bitterness and the resentment and the pain, it went. And she could then begin to receive healing. There was a lady I prayed for in Calgary a couple of years ago, and 24 years ago, she was thrown off an ice motorbike, a snowmobile on a frozen lake, and she landed with her head on the ice. She bounced, and she had on the ice again. She skated 400 yards, and she was terribly injured. The doctors did everything they could for her. 24 years later, she said, would you pray for me because of my back and my spine? I've never been able to lift things. I can't walk properly. I can't run. And it's all related back to this accident. And we've prayed for a lot of people who've gone through trauma and accidents. And as I began to pray, suddenly the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, you can't pray for her. And I knew instantly the reason was unforgiveness. And I said to him, I said to the lady, have you forgiven the man who was driving the motorbike? She said, no, and he's ruined 24 years of my life. And I said, well, if you're not willing to forgive him, I can't pray for healing for you.
Now, but wait a second. Why would you do that, Peter? You're really hurting her feelings. I mean, the average pastor will say a cosmetic prayer, and that's it.
Yeah, but one has to be real. See, in the scriptures it says that the truth will set you free. But actually it doesn't say just the truth will set you free. It says if you actually obey my teaching, this is what Jesus said, if you obey my teaching, then you'll be my disciple, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So let's forget about cosmetics. What we need to get to is reality in people's lives. What does the Word of God say? And actually apply it, and not just put something over the surface, but get down to the real core issue. And in this lady's life, it was bitterness, unforgiveness against this man who had been riding this motorbike with her as a pillion passenger, and it had ruined 24 years of her life. She went off with one of our team, and the team shared with her about the scriptures, and she began to understand what Jesus said. When she came back half an hour later, she was a different person. She was radiant, the Spirit of God was upon her, and I immediately began to pray for her, that God would actually heal her back, deliver her from the powers of darkness, the infirmity that had controlled her all these years. And the Spirit of God came upon her, and her back began to be straightened, her neck was put right. And the following morning, she was up at 6 a.m. in the morning, she was running around the estate where we were, and she was jogging and doing things that she'd never been able to do before. And a year later, I was back in the same town, I saw a pastor, I said, "How's she doing?" He said, "Amazing. No problems, no recurrence of the difficulties. She's completely healed. More than that, both her daughters have come to faith in Jesus because they saw what Jesus did for their mum. And the eldest one has already committed to go to Bible college to retrain as a pastor because they saw the supernatural power of God transforming their mum."
But I don't know, Peter. When I read in the Bible, I see Jesus, you know, just laid hands on lots of people and they were all healed. And he didn't say forgive. I mean, he said it elsewhere. But I mean, well, I don't quite get this.
He said it time and time again. And Luke 9:11 is the foundational scripture for our ministry. It says that Jesus welcomed the people. He showed them love and acceptance. He taught them about the kingdom of God. He taught them kingdom principles. And he healed those in need. And there is a sequence that the love and the acceptance is our arms are wide open to all who come to him. The teaching is what we need to understand truth. And Jesus was primarily a teacher. They said, "Teacher this, teacher that."
Rabbi.
They asked him questions. Rabbi means teacher.
Right.
Exactly. So that they were asking him questions and he was giving them truth. So when the disciples said, "Teach us how to pray," he gave them the prayer which we've come to know as the Lord's Prayer. And right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others." And that word "as" means in exactly the same way as. So, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us, Lord, for the things we've done wrong in exactly the same way as we're forgiving those who have hurt us.
You know, Peter, we're kind of jumping the cart before the horse. We haven't explained the most important prayer on earth. Don't go away. We'll start with that when we come right back. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Peter Horobin, and we're discussing what is considered, and I happen to believe, is the, and that word is emphasized, the most important prayer on earth. Peter, what is that prayer?
That was the prayer that Jesus prayed from the cross. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And that was a prayer of blessing. These people were nailing him to the cross. They were taking away his physical life. And in that moment of...
Most of us that saw the movie, The Passion, have just a degree.
That's right.
And many people that didn't understand were saying, "How awful, the brutality." I don't think they told a half of it.
No. But those people did not know they were nailing a sinless man to the cross. They didn't know that he didn't deserve to die. And Jesus from the cross prayed, "Father, forgive them." Now, whether or not they are forgiven depends on whether in their heart they come to repentance, but it's a prayer of blessing upon those who are hurting you. So if someone hurts me, what's the way to deal with it? Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Someone says bad things against me, that's a curse. Someone does things against me, that's a curse. How do I free myself from the consequences of what they're saying? Jesus said, there's only one way. Bless those who curse you. In the Proverbs, it says, a curse can't land without a cause. And bitterness in the heart is the prime cause for curses affecting us. So if we are blessing those who are hurting us, then whatever they're doing cannot touch us.
But how can we bless someone if our emotions are getting in the way? Yeah. A woman, let's say, that has been raped. Yeah. How in the world is she going to bless the man that did that to her?
It is not a case of actually blessing the act of what he is doing. It's blessing the man, separating the sin from the sinner, and saying, you are acting in a sinful way. You're doing a terrible thing against me. You have no right to do this. But I nevertheless, the cry from my heart is that God is going to bring you to a place where you know him, where you'll be blessed. You see, we can go to an evangelistic meeting and somebody, say, was a murderer, comes forward and accepts Jesus. Everyone's absolutely rejoicing. Oh, isn't it wonderful this murderer has accepted Jesus? How do you feel, however, if that murderer was the one who killed your own son? Could you be rejoicing in the fact you've received Jesus? Now, that's a hard one. But the church rejoices when people who have done terrible things find Jesus. If we who have been sinned against are able to pray that prayer of blessing on those who have hurt us, the consequences are beyond our understanding. Recently, we had a policeman in Northern Ireland whose son was killed, and immediately went on television and spoke out, I forgive the people who did it. You know, the effect of that was electric. How could somebody do this? And the reporters asked him, how could he do it? He said, I can only do it because Jesus has forgiven me, and I didn't deserve to be forgiven. This man doesn't deserve to be forgiven, but I'm giving to him what God has given me. That's powerful.
Now, you said to me that many people that are supernaturally healed strictly through God's mercy will lose their healings if they don't get at the cause. The back problem, the high blood pressure, those are symptoms.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to make a categorical statement that everyone's going to lose their healing.
Yes.
If they don't walk in godliness all their life. Actually, God is the one who gives the healing, and it's God who's the one who can actually judge and see where someone's heart is. But I can say this, that we have people who come to us for prayer for healing, and they want the symptoms dealt with, but they don't actually want Jesus to be Lord of their lives. They're wanting a miracle so that they can carry on sinning, you might say. And God will sometimes do that in people's lives. He will give them a sign. He will show them his love. And that sign is a sign to them that God is active in their life, and they can then turn to him. But, you know, God is far more interested in our relationship with him than he even is in our healing. Not that he isn't interested in our healing, but he wants our hearts. He wants us to be able to know him, love him, relate to him, live for him, and know the joy of the Lord, which becomes our strength. And that joy becomes our strength, becomes a source of our healing as well.
Now, you have in your book the most wonderful examples of people that have chosen to forgive and then been physically healed or blessed in their life.
Right.
Give me one quick example.
Linda, who fell off a cliff. I saw her 3 years after she'd fallen off the cliff. Her back was broken in 4 places. She was 10.5 hours in a ravine before a helicopter lifted her out.
Oh, awful.
When we actually met her, she was suicidal. She had been a nurse. She was now crippled. She was registered disabled with the Australian government, unable to walk properly, unable to run, constant pain. What hope? No hope at all, except God does something. And, you know, I said to Linda, would you like us to pray for you? And she said, no, thank you. I said, why not? She said, because I've been prayed for so many times and I've not been healed. I do not want to find out again that God doesn't love me. Now, we began to explain to her what can happen when we go through trauma. And understanding raises faith. And when she understood what had happened to her, her faith rose. She said, yes, now I can actually believe for healing because I now understand what happened and I understand what God can do to transform me. We prayed that way, but first we had to get through a huge hurdle. She had been on a night hike with her young people's group. And she had fallen off the cliff because she had stepped to the side of a path and she did not know there was a ravine. The youth leader did. And the youth leader did not warn them of the danger. And she was deep in her heart, resentful, angry. This man has robbed me of my life. He's robbed me of my chance of marriage. He's robbed me of my health, robbed me of my job. And she had to come to a place of forgiving him. And it was at that point of forgiveness that the Spirit of God came upon her in such a deep and a powerful way. She began to find things happening on the inside. She went through healing. She went through deliverance. And at the end of that, we anointed her with oil. And we just stood back and watched. And it's what Scripture encourages us to do, to anoint with oil. And as we anointed with oil, stood back and watched what God did, it was as if angels were supernaturally putting her body back together. It was as she was being stretched out. Her feet were being stretched out as if she was on traction. Her arms were being stretched out. Her body was being bent both ways. She wasn't doing it. God was doing it. And she stood up at the end of that time. She said, "I am healed." She's the only person that's ever come off lifetime disability pension from the Australian government. They had to invent a new form to take her off it.
Out of curiosity, did she hesitate going off of it?
She had a pension for life, and she thought, you know, the enemy tempted her and said, "Well, you keep your pension, and God can have you for free." In terms of evangelism, and she said, "No, if I keep that pension, I'm going to deception. I am healed." And it's now 8 years.
And many of you are going to be healed. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
Many viewers report testimonies of miracles, signs and wonders, and healings as a result of watching It's Supernatural.
I was assaulted last February and I had a concussion and felt tired all the time. Tonight, when Sid and his guests prayed for healing angels to be released, my neck was healed.
I'm 19 now, but got saved at 16, and your show was here to guide me and help me grow in the Word and the supernatural of God. The testimonies I heard gave me such a great faith and made me want to live in holiness and righteousness. If it wasn't for It's Supernatural, I don't think I would be where I am today.
I am 17 and would like to say this ministry has changed my whole life. I have been saved for about 4 months now, and my whole life has changed. Amazing. It's the best thing that has ever happened to me. This ministry has really brought my faith to a new level.
If you've been touched through watching It's Supernatural, share your testimony at sidroth.org/praise.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Peter Horobin, and we're talking about the most important prayer on earth. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So someone intellectually understands. They've chosen to forgive again and again and again and again. What should they do?
Well, they have to make a choice to forgive in the mind, first of all. But then they've got to ask God to put that into the heart. There's got to be a desire to forgive. And that's a supernatural gift of God, to be able to forgive. God himself chose to forgive. And we need actually his anointing to be able to forgive. And as we make that choice, then God enables us to begin the process. So the first step is actually to make a choice. But as you say, sometimes people say, "I've got to forgive time and time again." And then they think, "Well, I've not forgiven it, but I need to forgive again." And that's not true, because there are levels of forgiveness. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper.
So would you call it a process?
It is a process. And sometimes I liken it to emptying a bucket of sand with a teaspoon. You take a teaspoon of sand out, and it looks as though there's still a lot of sand there. But you keep on taking a teaspoon out, and eventually there's no sand left in the bucket. And every time you feel the pain, you just keep on saying, "I forgive." You know, Simon Peter said to Jesus, "How often
Wait a second. Yeah. So the pain should not be a condemnation. It's an opportunity to get rid of more sand.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity to forgive at a deeper level.
Yes.
Until we've emptied the bucket. And Jesus said to Simon Peter that you need to forgive 70 times 7. Simon thought 7 times was a lot. And 70 times 7 is not 490, even though you may be good at arithmetic. It's actually a Jewish phrase which says stop counting. It means millions. And Jesus says to Simon, actually don't even count. Just keep on forgiving. And sometimes we need to forgive the same person many times for something they've done. If, for example, somebody was terribly damaged through abuse in their early days, and as a result of that, they never got married, and there's in midlife, they're lonely.
Give me a real-life situation. I like real life situations.
A real life situation. This is what I'm telling you. There's a woman who's abused when she's 10, 11, severely damaged. She can no longer trust men. She hides herself in her body. She overeats and becomes overweight so that she camouflages her sexuality. No one wants to marry her. And in her midlife, she's lonely and she's depressed and she's suicidal. That's real. That's the sort of thing that can happen. And when you actually begin the process of forgiving, you can come to the point and say, yes, I forgive the man who abused me. But then there's all the consequences. And if you look at yourself in the mirror, as the experiences of life, you're realizing these are all things that have arisen because of this. And every time you can become aware of one, forgive again. And it's like taking a bit of sand out of the bucket with a teaspoon. And each time you forgive, the emotions become a little more whole until, at the end of the day, the pain has gone. And God is not just interested in seeing us forgive. He actually wants to heal us of the damage. And as he heals on the inside, we become changed from within. It's healing from the inside out, you might say. And the process then affects us. We're spirit, soul, and body. So in our spirit, we're making a godly choice. In our mind, our emotions, our will, we're maintaining that choice. And our body begins to reflect the healing that's going on the inside. See, our body is a reflector of what's happening in our soul. And so if our soul's in bitterness and anguish, guess what? Our body is going to start showing the symptoms of it.
And let's face it, in the average Christian church in America, if I, and I do this as an evangelist, I say, everyone that is sick, raise your hand. Yeah. Well, most of the people raise their hands.
And when in a church, I ask people to make a list of the people they need to forgive. You may think, these people, they come to church every Sunday. This isn't an issue for them. You'll find there's 10 or 20 or more names on their list. And we write them on a piece of paper, and we ask you to pray through that list from your heart. And so often people, they've said the Lord's Prayer thousands of times, but they've never stopped and done what the Lord's Prayer tells them to do. They've not actually applied the truth.
What happens when we pray the most important prayer on earth? Father, forgive them. Yeah. They know not what they do. What happens when we do this?
When we pray, it doesn't actually change that person's relationship with God, but it changes our relationship with God, because actually we are saying from our heart we are holding nothing against them. And because we're not holding anything against them, then the power of God is free to actually come into us and to change us. We're not actually letting somebody off the hook for the sin that they've committed. We're letting ourselves off the hook from the consequences of bitterness which Satan would want us to live in. And that bitterness will hold us back from knowing the power of God in our lives.
Did you hear that? That bitterness will not hurt the person that wounded you. It's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Did you know that, and Peter, you and I have discussed this, people's destiny is literally released when they become whole, and they become whole through this most important prayer. Are you whole? Would you like to have intimacy with God just like you read about in the Bible? I think there's a false thing in religion. It's called religion. You see, the purpose of religion is to help you have intimacy with God. Instead, it became an end in itself. And many of us judge God by religion. Well, stop doing judging. You don't have all the facts. You can't judge nothing. Not good English, but it's true. You can't judge anything. The only thing you can do is to forgive others. Because Jesus said, I will forgive you the same degree you forgive other people. And if there's a little sin separating you from God, then no wonder you don't have the intimacy your heart is crying for. Every cell of your body was created to have this intimacy with God. There is a shalom, a peace with God that is beyond anything your mind has ever envisioned. You want this peace. You may not care so much for religion, but you want this peace in this life. But I'll tell you a fact. If you don't have this peace in this life, what makes you think when you step out of your earth suit, you'll enter heaven? The difference between true religion and false religion is you know God intimately before you die. You hear His voice. You're led by His Spirit. And there is no doubt, there isn't even one shred of doubt that you'll be in heaven. Step one is to forgive others the way you want God to forgive you. Step two, you can't even get to step one unless you do step two first. Step two is to confess to God your sins. Repent, tell him you're sorry. Believe the blood of Jesus washed away your sins. You're clean. And now your Father, he can come and live inside of you. He's loved you before you've done this. But I'll tell you, there's a difference between God loving you and experiencing his love and peace and fulfillment. This is beyond anything religion offers. This is between you and him now. Now. The Supernatural Mentoring Kit is finally here. It's a treasure chest of life-changing resources. It's been assembled, prayed over to help you fulfill your God-given destiny on earth. Hello, this is Sid Roth. I want to mentor you in the supernatural. You see, my heart's desire is to help you walk under an open heaven where God's supernatural favor, his blessings, his health, his biblical prosperity, and his vision for your life, they'll be normal. In the months ahead, I want to help you fulfill your destiny and your purpose on earth.
Call now and get this one-of-a-kind mentoring kit from Sid Roth's School of the Supernatural. Never before has any ministry offered something like this to their monthly partners.
When you open the box, you're going to immediately see a special message from me welcoming you as a monthly partner with my prayer for you to begin unlocking the door to the supernatural.
You will receive this authentic Jewish mezuzah specially designed for our monthly partners. Inside are special prayers to unlock God's blessings for you and your loved ones. Also inside is a microfiche containing millions of names of unsaved Jewish families. Place the mezuzah on your doorpost or in a prominent place. Use it as a point of contact as you pray for your own needs and for the salvation of millions of unsaved Jewish families you are helping to reach with the gospel through your monthly support. You'll get this distinctive Meshpukah mug reminding everyone that you are one of Sid Roth's Meshpukah, a part of the family with a supernatural Jewish heart. Receive 35 powerful healing scripture cards so you can meditate on God's promises for you and your entire family. Open the door to the supernatural and you'll find your first monthly mentoring DVD. It includes a mentoring guide with questions to help you fully absorb the content and for you to write your personal thoughts. You'll hear teaching on subjects including healing, how to receive your breakthrough, how to work with angels, seeing into the glory realm, prophecy, and much more. You'll get a special membership key code that will allow you to access a web link, giving you exclusive access to behind-the-scenes mentoring seminars filmed at our International Media and Mentoring Center. Also included is your first bi-monthly newsletter and so much more. Meshpukah Gold and Halutzin members receive this special DVD, How to Walk in Revival Every Day, plus this daily prayer of cleansing and consecration. Halutzin members receive their own beautiful distinctive mug, plus this beautiful Halutzin menorah pendant and keychain. Don't miss out on getting your own mentoring kit from Sid Roth's School of the Supernatural. You can get this incredible kit with your first gift of only $25, plus $25 shipping and handling. If you sign up using our Angel Express, we'll waive the $25 shipping fee. Call or you can send your check for $50 to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number P9013N or log on to sidroth.org. Call or write today.